The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in this morning, we sure do appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, Pete Futak on college football at Power 5 snob. Oh, and then the hierarchy within the Power 5. Can't wait to hear his thoughts. And how tonight's rankings, the fifth of the six rankings, the sixth being this coming Sunday morning, the ultimate determinant of who is in the college football playoff, how tonight's will tip us off on what is to come based on results on Friday and Saturday in college football, 10 championship games, several of which affecting those things. I just want to, before we get to Kai McKeon in college basketball, I just want to read a couple tweets because these are about the power rankings that we just did. Sky High says, you may flippantly dismiss the Steelers as a top 10 team now, but to be fair, shouldn't we hearken back to the last time they had a 400-plus yard game and rank them similarly to that team, sans Canada? Maybe we should discuss more over lunch. Sushi, perhaps? Sports Pick Magic. We are finally, you and I, pretty much aligned on our top 10, except I couldn't decide between, and this is unbelievable, he says, the Broncos and Texans at 10, the Broncos and Texans at 10. Just can't go with the Browns, given the quarterback situation. Ended up Broncos 10 and Texans 11. Denver has the better wins and are hot now. Before we get off this,
that's fair.
If anybody thinks we're crazy about it, can you read those Pro Football Focus? Because you said the Chiefs were 11. I'm flabbergasted by this. Could you read their top 10?
They have San Fran 1, okay. Miami 2,
sure.
Dallas 3, Baltimore 4, Buffalo 5,
okay,
Detroit 6.
Okay, wait, hold on. Detroit 6.
Detroit 6. Philly 7.
Okay, stop it now.
Minnesota 8.
Oh, my God.
Houston 9. And the Seattle Seahawks as your number 10
team. And then the Chiefs 11.
And Chiefs 11.
What are
Chiefs
we doing?
11.
What are
if
we
you
doing?
Look, if you look what at Pro Football doing? Focus and DVOA, you're seeing Pro Football Focus has the Eagles at 7 and DVOA has the Eagles at 9.
I mean, they have gotten fortunate.
Yeah.
But 7 and 9, really? Okay. Let's talk some college basketball. let that marinate, if you will. One of our three gentlemen from Three Man Weave, kind enough to join us. He's got the best hair of the bunch. You know, no offense to Jim and Matt. It's Kai McKeon. How you doing, Kai?
Gil, I'm good. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Do you know anything about pro or college football? Or are you just so locked into your college basketball tunnel that you don't even know that stuff is happening?
No, I watch a little college football. I'm a Mizzou guy, so Tigers are having an awesome
what
season.
What a year.
Yeah, good to be back and relevant for the Missouri Tigers. So, yeah, I'm into college football a little bit. I grew up in St. Louis, so my Rams are gone to L.A. I'm trying to be a Bears fan now living in Chicago. So the NFL, a little bit of a sadder thing for me.
He's trying to be a Bears fan. That's a unicorn.
I got a good friend that was, that's from St. Louis. When the Rams moved, he just quit watching the NFL, period. He was the biggest diehard fan ever, and it was, I'm done watching the NFL overall.
Well,
I support that.
I kind of support that. Like, I mean, if this would never happen with Josh Harris, but if the team left Washington, I would have the same reaction. I'd be like, are you kidding me? How the Brownies felt when Armand Bell took him to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Imagine how Baltimore felt when they took him in the middle of the night to Indianapolis. I mean, I remember getting Baltimore local stations those days. They were just beside themselves. Okay. I love this exercise. I brought this up before because for those who just sort of show up for college basketball around the tournament, but are interested in having bets to win it all, I believe that the simplest hack way to do this, and by hack, I don't mean negative connotation, but just as a quicker way to go about making bets is compare the national rankings to KenPom ratings. I want to highlight two teams, one of which you'll probably see coming, which is Alabama. Alabama, which I, full disclosure, have a bet on, 23rd in the national rankings, 8th in KenPom. You can still get them at 30-1. Always shop around for these. 30-1, still a very juicy number on Alabama. Is this worth a bet?
Yeah, comparatively, I think it's pretty good value. They have the best offense in the country per KenPom right now. So not a bad idea to bet on a good offensive team, right? Team that can get hot, hit threes in the tournament. This team can certainly do that. The concern with Alabama is defense. Right now, ranking outside the top 60, Oates has had good defensive teams in the past. This one just doesn't seem like it has the same level of athleticism or length on the perimeter, and it's kind of hurting them a bit. A little early, I think, to determine if they are a top 10 team or not. They had a tough loss to Ohio State, who I think is good. Oregon had some guys out, so that win is kind of caveated. So relatively, for the value perspective in the market, I think it's a solid bet. However, I'm not totally convinced they are a top 10 team quite yet.
Yeah, and they are 61st in adjusted defensive efficiency. And as those of as everyone who has listened to this show for years knows, the formula, the tried and true formula, you got to be top 20 in both adjusted offense and defensive efficiency. Now, do you have any idea who the second team I'm going to highlight in this exercise is? Do you have a guess?
Oh, boy.
You could probably guess it.
How about BYU?
BYU is exactly where I was going. BYU, which is BYU's 19th in the current national rankings. They are 10th in KenPom. By the way, they're 6-0 against the number this year as well, tied for the best in terms of betting thus far in the college basketball season. And you can get them, I mean, I'm just looking at one, it's 80-1. You might be able to get them at a longer number than that. I watched them the other night against NC State. I don't even think they had their full allotment of players. I might be wrong about that, but they looked spectacular. Is that worth a bet?
It might be. It feels weird to say BYU is a title contender, but right now they've done no wrong. Mark Pope, first of all, is a great coach. We've thought this for years. They've had a couple down years. A lot of that is kind of injury driven, though, or at least partially. So I think you need to, you know, put an asterisk next to their last couple of year performances. But unlike Alabama, you know, I've been extremely impressed with their wins. Beating San Diego State is an awesome victory. You know, NC State on neutral is not bad. Let's see how they do on the road. They've yet to play a true road game yet. I fully believe in the shooting. They take a 3-pointers at the top 10 rate in the country and they hit them.
Yes.
Right? That's kind of their deal. But they're also rebounding the ball, both ends. They're one of the best rebounding teams in the country. And that pretty much travels against any team. So I think BYU is awesome. Again, top 10 seems crazy to me, but Pope's a great coach. They have shooting. You know, what's not to like in the tournament setting?
By the way, in contrast, the NC State, like Kevin Keats, could not have behaved worse at the end of that game. Like, I immediately filed it away as, oh, fade this team in a big game late in the season. Mm-hmm. That was not he like threw a tantrum at the end, was ready to come after the officials.
Yeah,
it was not a good look. Is there so Alabama, BYU, I sort of spoon fed those, but like, is there one right now that you're like, no, this is the best value on the board would be this team?
Yeah, value-wise, I'm not sure it's quite there. I haven't looked at the futures in a bit. Arizona's been the most impressive team to me early on. Them and Purdue. Purdue, I've had a future on. Arizona, I added recently just because I was like, man, this team looks kind of like UConn last season in terms of I can't really spot a weakness. The shooting's there. The ball handling's there. If Caleb Love is going to play within, you know, Tommy Lloyd's system, and it looks like he's kind of bought into that, playing great on the defensive end. And their front court's fantastic. And they play a style that, you know, lends to never being out of the game and being able to blow teams out with the way they run in transition. So I think Arizona might be the best team in the country. I'm still pretty in on Purdue. You know, both those teams, I think, are top 10 in KenPom on offense and defense. So taking the top 20 rule to an extreme.
I don't know if you saw this. This has nothing to do with anything, but you brought up Arizona there. I was, you know, Instagram this morning, and as I got through all my Igas Fiatek stuff that loaded up, then it was this Arizona thing that came in. Do you see this? Arizona is facing a $240 million school-wide shortage after significant miscalculations in their financial modeling. Cuts are being considered among the 23 varsity teams. Oh my God.
How does that even happen?
Oh, we made a $240 million error. Sorry about that. We might have to get rid of the, anyway. Okay. You have a couple plays today. One is a total. Yeah. Let's talk about that first.
All right. Total. Both of these are on the extra board. So I'm kind of digging deep today, but yeah, Southern and Marquette, going with the over here. And this is basically because of Southern's attitude towards running against good teams. They're not afraid to run. They want to get out in transition, and their coach says, we don't care who the competition is. You know, most bad teams will slow it down. Southern's going to run. 75 possessions against TCU, 82 against Arizona, 77 against Illinois. Marquette, among the fastest offensive teams in the country. They're going to love this transition game. They should score inside all day. I expect Marquette to score around 100 points, and Southern can hopefully get the rest.
Did Marquette have a super high pace last year too? Something in my brain.
Offensively, yeah, for sure. They tend to slow teams down defensively sometimes with their press, but offensively, they're usually among the tops.
All right. So over in the Southern Marquette game, what number are you seeing there?
Oh, gosh. It was around 151.
Yeah, 151.5
151.5. Okay. And then you have a side also on the extra board.
Also in the extra board, Furman, minus 21. Last time I checked, might be a little bit higher. I think it's just an old fashioned, you know, butt kicking against South Carolina State. This game, again, should play in the mid-70s possession wise. South Carolina State, another team that wants to run, really hard to do against Furman, who is a lot healthier now. They have struggled a little bit this season, but they've had guys out. Huey's back. Alex Williams is back. Both key players. South Carolina State's defense is a sieve. They foul a ton. I think it should be a big win for Furman.
Okay. Greatest wide receiver ever out of South Carolina State, Kelly, would be?
No idea.
That was Kelly's I don't even want to play this game response. The great Charlie Brown. You don't remember Charlie Brown? No, it's before your time. Washington. Okay. Thank you,
Kai. Watch this cartoon.
Yeah, watch this cartoon. It's a whole different thing. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Kai. Appreciate it. All of your picks still at 3MW_CBB?
Yes, sir. That's right. That's where you can find our everything.
That's where you can find anything. If you want to talk to Kai personally, that's at Kai, K-Y, at 3MW3, man. We thank you, Kai. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
A little college basketball.
I was loaded up a guess because I couldn't remember what school Jerry Rice went to.
Oh, no, no, that's not No, that would be incorrect. Let's talk some Champions League on the other side. Paul Carr will join us for some midweek soccer action. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up on our Black Friday, our Black Friday special now, and get access to everything we do through May 1st. For only 60 United States dollars at vsin.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Richard Palma, a little listener on listener crime. You like listener on listener crime, Kelly?
No.
He says, ask guy in the cornfields, although you didn't call him that, if he thinks Cousins is better than RG3. Yes, the famous 2012 debate in 2012 through 2014. He sounds like he's a Cousins guy through and through, let's be honest. Okay, this is from Chris of St. Bart's. At what point in the season will you start your tried and true tourney championship formula for teams? Not really until March, to be honest with you, because there's no point in starting it this early. Want to get most of it sorted out and then get it down to a chunk of teams. But that's the formula for those who are unaware. There's like six criteria that has picked basically every and not as picked in some cases picked, but has given you the small group from which the ultimate champion comes. Has a lot to do with KenPom. Only the 2014 UConn Huskies, the real exception. 2022 Baylor was a bit of an 2021 Baylor, I believe it was a bit of an exception. But the 2014 UConn Huskies was a big exception to that rule. Let's talk some soccer. He's also a Miami Dolphins fan. Maybe we should talk about that first. It's Paul Carr, ladies and gentlemen, from True Media Networks. And, of course, the Expected Value podcast. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm good. Speaking of the Dolphins, my dad and I are talking over Thanksgiving. And we find ourselves talking about, hey, how could the Dolphins get, you know, the one seed? And then we kind of slapped ourselves and we're like, what are we talking about? This doesn't feel right. We haven't won a playoff game in over 20 years. And we're talking about a one seed. What's going on?
You're talking about one seed.
It's crazy.
You were saying on text, you're like, this is a revenge spot for the Dolphins against Washington, the Super Bowl 17 revenge.
Don McNeil is going to wrap up John Riggins and all is going to be right with the world.
Yeah. When I used to live with my parents in D.C., I had that huge black and white of Riggo shedding Don McNeil. Greatest moment in Skins history. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I know I've told you the story before. My dad talked to Don McNeil a couple years ago. And Dad didn't bring up that game, but you know, Don eventually, somehow they got to it. And Don McNeil just said, I should have wrapped him up.
Should have wrapped him up. Well, a lot of people didn't wrap up Riggo those days.
Yeah, seriously.
Fourth and one, and that gave a Washington lead in Super Bowl 17. That was a revenge game for Super Bowl 7, though. One could, argue.
We'll call it even.
You think your Dolphins' role in that game at Washington?
I mean, they should. You know, they've been grinding out these, you know, they had this 5-game stretch where the Dolphins just really needed to go 5-0. And so far, so good. They haven't all been pretty, but they're just kind of, you know, get it done. Because, like, is Washington going to put up more than 20 points? Seems unlikely. And if the Giants can torch the Commodes defense, the Dolphins surely can too, right?
Yeah. It makes, I mean, listen, I'm the first to say, you, if you watch that thing on Thanksgiving, the Dolphins should score a million. They really should. Okay. Champions League from Paul Carr. This is today and tomorrow. Yep. You've got one today. This is Young Boys and Red Star Belgrade. Could you, because Jeff Hoos, who used to work at the ARIA, and I were actually talking about this over the weekend, and then one of your picks involves Young Boys. Can you explain, because they come up often in Champions League through the years. What exactly, for those that have no idea what this is, what are these teams?
Young Boys specifically is the Swiss champion right now. So basically, if you win your league in Europe, you get into Champions League. Some of the lower, you know, whatever, Latvia teams, you have to start in some playoffs to get there. And then the best leagues, England, Germany, et cetera, they get 2, 3, 4 teams in Champions League. So it's Champions League in name, at least, because every league champion gets into at least qualifying. So yeah, Young Boys have been three of the last 4 or 5 years. I think they've won 5 straight Swiss League titles. So yeah, they're becoming a more familiar name, even though they were, you know, weren't much of a factor on the European stage until recently.
All right. So Young Boys and Red Star Belgrade going against each other. And you have a play on the total here.
I do. You throw out the record books for these.
You always do with these two meet, for sure.
Yeah. So I'm going over 3 goals at even money. If you want to, you find the over 3.5 in the plus, you know, 150 ish range, that works too. Both of these teams are eliminated from Champions League, meaning they can't advance to the knockout stage, but they are playing for 3rd place in the group, which would be a Europa League spot, basically the NIT version of this. Bad defenses here. They've been really bad in Champions League. Part of that is playing Manchester City and RB Leipzig. But even when they played earlier in the group, it was 2-2. There were 38 shots, over 5 expected goals. So I expect this one to be wide open because they're high scoring teams in their league. Each team leads its respective league in goals this season, with defenses that are, even at the league level, not that great. So I just think that there's going to be goals here one way or the other. Could get a little wild. Over 3 goals at even money looks good to me.
Throw out the records.
Right.
Will Hill, Felica, and I have a running joke when it comes to rivalry, like college football rivalry week. Last year, Brock Osweiler was the color guy on the FSU Florida game. And he steadfastly held to this thing. Like there was a flag thrown on a PI, and Osweiler's like, you can't throw that. It's a rivalry game. And so we're just so amazed that he was just going with this narrative that all the rules go out the window in rivalry games. That's right. We were hoping he was on the same game this week, but he wasn't. He was on the Cal UCLA game. The last regular season game in Pac-12 history, by the way.
Tear face.
Yeah, tear face for sure. They went out with a bang. Give them that. Okay, so the over 3 goals in the Young Boys Red Star Belgrade game today, and then tomorrow you have 2, and they're also totals, as it turns out. What do you got?
Yeah. So we're going to start with Galatasaray and Manchester United. This is a game that realistically Manchester United has to win because they're in last place in the group and their final game in a couple weeks is against Bayern Munich. And Galatasaray likely needs at least a draw to keep themselves in good shape to advance. Both these teams have had really high scoring games. They're 1st and 5th in total goals in the group stage. 20 goals in 4 Manchester United games, 16-4 for Galatasaray, and the underlying numbers match up with that. They played earlier this season. It was 3-2 in England. Galatasaray won that on a late goal. So just goals everywhere in their game so far this year. We've talked about United's midfield is a little bit of a mess just from an injury standpoint, but their way of combating that is basically, we'll just skip the midfield and get it up top and try to score goals, which they did against Everton over the weekend. Galatasaray, they're in Istanbul. I'm sure you haven't been to Istanbul for a Champions League game. I haven't either, but they get intense. I mean, they make SEC football look almost like amateur hour from, you know, there's flares in the stands and it's just a cauldron of everything. So I think things will get crazy. Galatasaray has a lot of good players that, you know, if you're a soccer fan, you forgot where they went and they're in Istanbul. So anyway, over goals, 3.5, 145 is the price I got on this.
First of all, how dare you assume that I have not seen the Champions League game in Istanbul. Let's just get that out of the way. Yeah,
come on. Gil and I did that this past summer. Yeah,
what are you talking about?
My bad.
Yeah, and secondly, when my dad when they were leaving his home country of Bulgaria, because they had been through the Nazis and they had been through communism, and they went to live in Palestine, which had become the present day Israel, he said when they were on the boat, he was a kid, they were on the boat, he said the lights of Istanbul, most beautiful city he's ever seen in his life. He always used to say that. Yeah, but Istanbul. Okay, and then you have another total as well tomorrow in the Arsenal game.
Yes, we're going against human achievement in this one. This is Arsenal against Lens, French club, under 2.5, plus 130. Arsenal will get through with just a draw. Lens could be out with a loss, so I expect they'll try to keep it tight. Just not a lot of goals in all their games this year. Two of the bottom four teams in expected goals in the group stage. And I know that's a small sample size of four games, but Arsenal is also dead last in the Premier League in total expected goals per game. So I expect Arsenal just kind of hold on to the ball, get a goal, not give a whole lot up. Lens missed a couple of their key attackers as well. So yeah, this feels like a 1-0, 2-0. Arsenal just kind of muddles it out and gets the win and moves on sort of thing. So I like under 2.5 goals getting plus money.
All right. Young Boys, Red Star, Belgrade, the over 3 goals today. And then tomorrow, Galatasaray, Man U, over 3.5 goals plus money. Shop around for your number there. And Arsenal and Lens, not Lens, Kelly.
Not right,
Lens. Under 2.5 goals tomorrow. No Champions League futures play for you yet? Anything?
Not really. They don't. I mean, they change so little from the beginning of the group stage to, I mean, really the knockout stage, that there's just not a lot of value in anything at this point. So, I mean, sure, you want to pick somebody, but City's a sizable favorite. I'm still not sure who the second best team that could really challenge City is, but I don't feel comfortable like laying the number that City's at right now either.
Do you typically do one after the quote unquote random draw that ensues?
I'd like to just, to get something going, if nothing else. But, you know, by then you're halfway through the league season and have a little bit better sense of where these teams are, maybe where the upside could be the rest of the way. So, yeah, I'll look to make something once we get out of the group stage and the draw and see, especially if you have a super soft round of 16 game, that gives you a nice little extra round to kind of skate through.
All right, Paul, we appreciate it, man. Real quick, yes, no answer. FSU goes undefeated under any circumstances. Should they be in the Final Four college football playoff?
Yes.
Yes, there it is. See? People are so resolute on each side. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it very much. About that college football controversy and about championship week, Pete Futek joins us on the other side from College Football News. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant. Kelly, were you aware of that? That in the NBA, the game can change in an instant?
It's true. It's a fact.
Really? Interesting. Didn't know you knew. But no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. The crown is yours. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, it's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada here at the D in lovely downtown Las Vegas. I said at the top of the show, I was looking more forward to this segment than any other today. Not because I don't love Drew Dinsick and Paul Carr and Kai McKeon and Dan Bespris, who's still to come.
No, you hate everybody. You said that. You said that off the air.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, you're like, the only person I like today is Pete.
And it's not because I love Pete more than them, but this discussion is so interesting to me and obviously has implications to your futures tickets. We bring in Pete Futek, ladies and gentlemen, from collegefootballnews.com. Hello, Pedro. How are you?
My show sucks. Please save my show. I hear you. It's okay. You don't have to dog the other guests. I get it.
Yeah, that's not where I was going with it. So here's
the show I'm on.
Listen, I find this debate fascinating. In a year where there appeared to be a scenario where there would be no debate at all, a debate has sprung. And it is fascinating to me that people are on one side are as staunchly entrenched on their viewpoint as the other people on the other side. And I really find myself saying that I wouldn't be outraged by either. And the question is, if FSU beats Louisville in the ACC championship, Whether it's by 3 or 20 might make a difference to you. Maybe it doesn't. But if they win, they will have a zero in the loss column. And to the question of, therefore, should they be in the college football playoff? Again, the argument is such that I hear people passionately saying, hey, they got zero losses. They're a Power 5. They're in, no matter what. And then the other people are like, no, there's language in the committee bylaws that says if the team is fundamentally changed, I'm paraphrasing now, which FSU obviously is without Jordan Travis, that the committee's job is to pick the four best teams and FSU wouldn't be one of them. Where does Peter Futak land on this?
Having been, knowing the college football playoff people, I used to work with them. I've been through the process. I've been in through the grapevine thing and everything like this. The rules are set up to be loose, to be able to allow the committee to pick anybody they want. If they wanted to pick Louisiana Monroe, Eastern Michigan, and whatever, they could do whatever they wanted. So their goal is to try to come up with the four best teams. I am, however, and this is the only area of my life that I am this way, a strict believer in precedent when it comes to how they have done this. And in the history of the short history of this college football playoff, they have never kept out a 13-0 Power 5 conference champion. That, and they have never left out a 12-1 Power 5 conference champion except for once, and that's because we had a 12-0 Notre Dame instead of an Ohio State team that got boat raced by Purdue. So to me, it's not fair to say, okay, your quarterback got hurt and you can't overcome this. Obviously, Florida State's not necessarily as good as they were with Jordan Travis. But yes, 13-0, especially since there aren't other undefeated options potentially there on the table. 13-0 Power 5 conference champion in, no matter what, there's no way they are not taking a 13-0 ACC champion Florida State.
He said there is no way, ladies and gentlemen, no way.
They can't.
I wouldn't be outraged to use my word on for either outcome. I am leaning firmly on your side, which is why I said.
Well, here's the thing. Who's your alternative? So in your scenario here, let's say. The only way this comes up is, let's say we have Chuck. And remember, the thing about this is when you're talking about betting and in the history of the college football playoff era, the conference championships have been total chalk. We have yet to, the upsets have been something, Utah got USC last year, or, Baylor, got Oklahoma State. I mean, there've been really kind of mild upsets. We haven't had the, Iowa over Michigan. We haven't had the big giant, left hook from anywhere. So assume these conference championships go chalky. The one that would be the opposite, which actually would be an upset now, would be if, let's say, Washington goes 13-0. Let's say Georgia wins and goes 13-0, and let's say Michigan goes 13-0. So those three, no one would question. Those three would be in without even a discussion. And then let's say Florida State goes 13-0. There, it's easy. There's no reason to tune in on Sunday morning. But let's say Washington loses. Let's say Alabama beats Georgia. That's going to be the funkiest scenario on this, because it affects Texas and affects Oregon, is if Bama beats Georgia. Then the argument becomes one loss Georgia, because you're not supposed to know. In theory, you're supposed to wake up from a coma and pick these teams. You're not supposed to know that they're the two-time national championship, but we know how this works. Mm-hmm. Two-time national champion Georgia in a conference, though, that's the worst of the Power 5 by a mile when it came to head-to-head competition with the rest of the Power 5s, but it's still Georgia. 12-1 Georgia, who loses to Alabama, let's say it's a close loss, or 13-0 Florida State. There's your discussion that they would have. At the end of the day, they would put in Alabama, and then who do you leave out? So I think 13-0 Florida State's in no matter what. I still think that there's a possibility that the SEC would get left out, but it won't, because Alabama would get in if it beat Georgia.
Yeah, the other controversy beyond the FSU perhaps controversy is that Alabama thing. And if Alabama somehow gets in over Texas, right, with both having one loss, that would be justifiable outrage, wouldn't it, Pete? At least give me
that. They'd have to move the offices out of Grapevine, Texas. You couldn't operate there in Dallas and do that. But
Hold on, Pete. I know you love to talk, but let me just like get in one thing. Even Pete Futak would admit, based on your Power Five hierarchy snobbery, that that would be ridiculous. Yes?
Can't do it. You got to put Texas in.
All right.
And the justification would be from the College Football Playoff Committee that if Georgia is the number one seed, it would be. Let's see what happens tonight. Michigan should be number one. The committee's been a little all over the place. But let's say Alabama, especially if Alabama, beat them badly, all of a sudden you're like, how do you keep Alabama out of the College Football Playoff? Well, what if Washington wins? And obviously, what if Michigan wins? What if Florida State wins? Who do you leave out, Texas or Alabama?
So what's the tell tonight? What are you looking for in these penultimate rankings? What's the tell?
Remember when we first did this, the first ever College Football Playoff rankings, Iowa State was third. They won, I think, 55-3 over Iowa State, and they finished sixth. So it all changes because of the whole calculus changes on the conference championships. Because, again, whatever it is tonight, if Bama beats Georgia, that throws everything into a tizzy from there. Yeah. So it really is just as crazy as do you think. And here's where Bama beating Georgia really screws things up because, let's say Oregon beats Washington. Now what do you do? Because I think if Texas beats Alabama, they have to say, we are going to put an out. Let's say Alabama wins and Texas beats Oklahoma State. They're going to say, we're going to put both of them in because Alabama needs to be in because they beat the number one Georgia Bulldogs. And Texas has to be in because they beat them by 10. Oregon's out in this scenario.
If FSU wins by a point and Bama, let's say, beat Georgia by 10, right? And Oregon beat Washington by 20 or whatever it is. Well, it'll be so fascinating to see.
I didn't think I was on with you, actually. I don't know if we've been on for this long, but the first College Football Playoff.
Yes, I was going to bring this up.
When it was supposed to be the four best teams, Florida State would, but there you only had like, I think, two undefeated. Maybe one, but Florida State had to be in because it was undefeated, but they were not one of the four best teams. They squeaked by. ACC was bad.
They put them in as the number three team. They were the only undefeated and they put them in as the third seed. Jameis.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that sort of set the precedent was like, if you're an undefeated Power Five champion, I do think in any scenario, there's no chance a 13-0 Power 5 champion does not get let in because they've always defaulted to undefeated, including Notre Dame, who 2020, we had this discussion, Texas A&M was better. Their only sin was they lost to Alabama, who turned out to be awesome. And they put in Notre Dame because they were undefeated and then got killed by Clemson. So they do like the undefeated aspect.
Pete, I actually agree with you. I do think they'll put in FSU no matter what. And I know there's some people who
I think they will.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right. Last 45 seconds then here. What's your favorite championship week? What's your favorite bet of the entire weekend?
Michigan. I just don't think Iowa scores. I mean, Iowa does defense. Michigan does defense better. 23.5 is a little light. Penn State beat Iowa 31-0. I'm sort of seeing something like that. Like, maybe 31-3, 23.5 is light. And I think, Washington plays everything close. I do think Oregon wins, but 9.5 is a whole lot of points to be given away to a Washington team that just so happens to have beaten them and be pretty good. I'm not convinced Oregon's this be all end all, like everyone's loving right now, because they did play a lot of teams that were close. So I like Washington in the points and I like Michigan to blow away Iowa.
I think I'm with you on the Michigan thing for real. Like, Michigan could just house them. Pete, yeah. This is going to be fascinating. I appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much.
Talk to you next week.
The great Pete Futak, FIUTAK on the Twitter machine, collegefootballnews.com.
Great breakdown. That was great stuff.
I love it because people are so convinced of their side of this. This is going to be fascinating. Dan Bespris on the NBA. He'll join us next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
One more day of BetsGiving, VSiN's second annual BetsGiving contest. All of VSiN's hosts, writers, and analysts are competing in a week-long competition to see who's the best bettor at VSiN. Follow all the bets and leaderboard at VSiN.com or go to the DK Sportsbook app, select social, then betting groups, where you'll be able to join our BetsGiving group to follow the action. Kelly, I am out as of yesterday. I went full bore. have to be ready to crap out in these contests. Well, I crapped out.
Yeah, that's what you are. I emptied the account on the Sixers, so that got home easily. There luckily,
bring it home, baby.
I think I'm in striking distance. Not really sure. There's some confusion on the leaderboards. I don't know what I'll be riding with. It's going to be a very interesting hardwood handicappers in about 2 hours.
Oh, because you and JBT.
Yeah, we got to talk about NBA bets we like tonight.
You guys are going to talk in code.
Yeah, I know. I think he's on top. We think he's in the lead.
Think so.
And if I got to pass him, then I don't know. My NBA bets are going to be a little.
I just want to say this. My big takeaway from the whole thing is, even though I'm out, the ease of use. And I know all y'all who have the DraftKings app know this already. We in Nevada don't, because we don't get to use it. No, those of us in Beeson wouldn't be able to bet on it anyway. But having this experience using the DraftKings app,
incredible.
It is so good by comparison to everything we have. First of all, not even by comparison. It's just great. It's easy to navigate. It's quick. It's intuitive. You know where to go to find what. Contrast that with last night. Sorry, Eric Biggio, I don't mean to pick on it. The Caesars app, forget about being hard to use and it rebooting three times while you try to make one bet. It was just down entirely last night during the Monday night game. Mm-hmm. And so I am so envious that you have those kinds of apps like DraftKings to use. That was my biggest takeaway from the whole thing.
I have friends that come into town that
me too.
They bet on the East Coast.
They go crazy.
And I show them what we're working with. Yeah. And their mind is blown. Yeah. It is. Wait, what? Why does this look like this?
It's incredible.
Everything we use looks like it was built in 1998.
Real quick before we get to Dano here, Nevada A's or BYU currently 100-1 at Caesars. If you know, you can get in, if you can get in and make the bet. Prime time. So now that some of the shine has come off the Vegas Raiders, are you and Delicious no longer lining up to see off Antonio Pierce on game day?
I can imagine you guys with signs down in the parking garage as he leaves every morning. And
John Balduzzi with my favorite tweet of the morning. He says, Elder Alexander generation lives through communism and escapes Nazis, doesn't complain. Younger Alexander generation loses in Survivor, angry for 18 weeks. I used to say that. I used to say, I get mad when I get upset when the wind blows too hard.
Right.
That's how I said at my dad's funeral, what this man went through without any complaint whatsoever. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Bespris joins us now. He has the greatest audio in the history of media. He joins us now from the Fantasy NBA Today podcast. And of course, he is the assistant GM at Sports Ethos. How you doing, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. I have been somewhat sick the entire month of November, but you guys are waking me up. I'm ready to go today.
What is with your stock, Dan Bespris? Why are you always ill? Is it the children?
Yes, it's the children. It's the children and it's the wife because she works in a hospital. She's a doctor. So I just got germs coming at me from all sides, Gil. I don't know what to do.
Oh, the wife. The wife with her germs.
So tough having a doctor wife.
Yeah.
Boy, what a, I know. What a tough time.
What a horrible
pity.
Hand
I want all
dealt.
Of your just shower me with pity.
All right. Do you have any NBA? First of all, have you been awash with in-season tournament fever? First of all, as among your other ailments that you've acquired.
I gotta say, I like to think of myself as the anti-fun police. I worked in baseball for a long time, which is the fun police have a pretty firm hold on baseball. So anytime somebody comes up with something to just try that's new, I'm pretty much for it. And I'm still lightly confused by the in-season tournament, despite reading all of the papers and trying to figure out how all of the wild cards and the head-to-heads and the point differentials all match up. But at the end of it all, I thought the courts were kind of fun. Yeah. I didn't mind their sort of weirdness.
I'm with you.
I'm still a little bit curious how teams are going to handle these last few games, just in terms of these guys are tired and there is going to be one extra game in there. To this point, it does feel like there's been at least a few teams that want it. And they say they want to get the $500,000 for their teammates who maybe aren't making as much. I personally think perhaps they just want the home game in the quarterfinals because an extra home game is a good thing for a team. But either way, I like it. I don't know if I'd say I've got a fever for it. Maybe just some slight aches.
Yeah, I got the body chills for it. I do. I like it. By the way, again, for those who who are not hip to it, again, it's Tuesdays and Fridays from November till tonight. Tonight is the last night of group play. All games tonight are to complete the group stage of the in-season NBA tournament. The quarterfinals begin on Monday. We'll have two games on Monday. We'll have two games on Tuesday. Then the semis are on Thursday. That will be here in Las Vegas. Kelly, are you going to these games?
I didn't even thought about it yet, but you're right. That is coming up quick.
That's going to be, like,
I'll work my way in.
So next, I think I might too. That's next week. And then the game that does not count in the actual standings will be the championship in Vegas on Saturday.
Dan with a good point about the quarterfinals. Like, you clinch a home court there. Like, it is one added extra home game that you know you're getting. Because remember, they're going to backfill right. All these other games for these other teams. So, yeah, if you're able to secure a home court, I mean, I know we're still talking regular season, but you guarantee yourself a home game at least.
It's kind of cool. I mean, so, Dan, if someone said, okay, give me an in-season tournament odds to win it right now, you would say, based on the number, who?
I would say... Who the heck knows? It's crazy. So, I mean, the Lakers and the Pacers are in, so there's some advantage to picking them because at least we know they're actually in the quarterfinals already.
I gave out the Pacers 2 weeks ago on this show, I believe. I did.
Yep. I love the Pacers. They were, I think we had them, weren't they one of my overs when we talked at the beginning of the year?
Yep.
I think so.
Yes, yep. I think so. Yeah, I did Pacers, and I think Jensen gave out the Suns. When he was
the Suns a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Okay. A week and a half ago, whatever it was.
Suns are interesting. I'm hoping that Kevin Durant would be back for whatever the quarterfinals, the semis for this thing. Cause I mean, Devin Booker's doing a heck of a job of carrying them himself these last couple of days, but they do appear to have a pretty good shot to be the wild card on the Western side because of a point differential of plus 34, guys. I did some deep diving on this yesterday. I'm still extraordinarily confused. But the one thing that I will say is that I think we'll be able to go back to all of this after year one and have a little bit of a better idea of how to handle it from a betting standpoint. I think the hard part is going to be you don't really know year to year which teams are going to care, because already this season we've kind of seen some do and some don't really. I think now that we've gotten to this point, you can say, okay, well, and folks can see it on their screen. The Kings are a win and you're in kind of team right now. The Bucks are a win and you're in kind of team. So do we get a little bit more from them here at the end? The Knicks need a point differential bump today. So do they try to win by more? So these little things that we know need to happen for a team. Now we want to look and see if they do happen. I'm not going to just bet on it and say, oh, well, this team needs to win by 12 or whatever and just expect it, because then you get into that territory, Gil, you've talked about a lot. Do you want something to happen more for your own wager than the team wants it for themselves?
Right.
That's a bad way to bet money. So I think the best move here, and I know this, like, surprise, surprise, the neurotic plain bagel on your show says, let's take a look at it and let's maybe react later as opposed to trying to guess what a team's going to do. But I'd rather take a bunch of data from this year and use it for next season.
I think the best point you make in there is also, like, because we were speculating. I don't know if you remember, before the season even started, I would bring up this tournament. Hey, are there any handicapping angles? And people are like, oh, OKC, they're young and hungry, that kind of thing. It really does come down to a almost like a salary analysis of every team, because everyone was very flippantly saying, oh, $500,000 isn't anything to an NBA player. Well, it's not to the guys making $40 million, but it actually is a lot.
Right. Yeah.
To the guys who are at the low end. Sorry, it really is. And so that's probably the as good of an analysis as anything as you can do in terms of trying to assess motivation. Do you have a play in any of the games tonight at all?
I don't. Not even one. Okay. There's enough confusion for me where I'm not even sure that some of the teams know exactly what they need to get there. Okay. The Heat, if the Heat beat the Bucks, that sets off this chain of events. The Knicks have to win by something like 8-16 to give themselves a chance. If the Nets blow out the Raptors and they kind of get back in the mix a little bit, the ones that I'd be looking at tonight, and again, I'm not going to do anything beforehand, but the win and you're in type of teams, those are the ones where you're like, okay, well, does that mean anything? And the ones where you're looking at point differential, does that mean anything in terms of covering perhaps a larger spread? But again, this is something I'm going to be looking at after the fact, at least knowing going into it, what I'm expecting or what I want to see happen to confirm a few thoughts.
Last two questions. I need a one word answer. Flyer, futures flyer on an NBA team to win the title that most wouldn't even consider would be.
Oh, Sixers. Midseason big swing trade. They get really good.
FSU goes undefeated, they should be in the college football playoff. Yes or no?
I actually don't follow college football.
I'm asking everybody in the casino. I just walk by a slot machine. I just ask them, get their opinion on it. Thank you, Dano. Great to see you, man. Feel better.
Thank you, gentlemen. I couldn't feel better.
Dan Bespris, everybody. Best audio in the biz. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.